the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the prophecies of Nostradamus as it directly relates to us with expert David Overson. We'll have open lines for you this hour, and here's some of the stories of the day. Well, a coronal mass ejection heading for Earth. Extremely geomagnetic storms are possible when it arrives sometime tomorrow. Sky watchers, be alert for auroras. This is a big one, so let's see what happens. As a matter of fact, they are expecting that there could be some outages, maybe cell phone problems, maybe satellite problems. As a matter of fact, I just got this fast blast in. It says, George, something funny is going on with DirecTV. The satellite is rebooting all the boxes all over the nation right now. I called them to ask them what was going on. Do you think it's the solar flares? Might be. Maybe it's hitting already. The European spacecraft Huygens that landed in mud when it hit the surface of Titan, according to a scientist, revealing some animated pictures on the final feat of its descent to the moon of Saturn. The latest pictures underline beliefs that the Huygens probe landed near a large body of liquid when it ended its seven-year mission by the European Space Agency to the previously untouched moon. Another series of photos showed how Titan's hazy atmosphere gave way to a more solid but clearly varied surface as the spacecraft tumbled and spun toward its final resting place. Images taken on descent from about 12 miles right down to the surface suggest the presence of liquid, possibly flowing through channels or washing over larger areas. Titan is the first moon other than the Earth's to be explored. Scientists believe its atmosphere may be similar to that of the primordial Earth, and studying it could provide clues as to how life began here. The NASA rover Opportunity has discovered a basketball-sized metal meteorite sitting on the surface of Mars. These machines are doing some incredible work, aren't they? Scientists believe the meteorite might lead to clues about how Martian winds are reshaping the planet's surface. Opportunity came upon the meteorite last week while performing other tasks. Under Hot Stories, we have that down there somewhere. If you want to scroll down, the story about the meteorite should be a picture there for you to look at it. It does. Looks like a small metal basketball. Well, experts are saying that earthquakes, floods, and other natural disasters could kill millions in the world's teeming megacities, and time is running out to prevent such a catastrophe. This according to the United Nations point man on emergency relief, Jan Englund. The UN Director of Disaster Relief said many of the world's megacities, including Tokyo, for example, are extremely vulnerable to natural disasters, and the poor were most at risk from a lack of investment and planning. He basically says a megacity has a population of 10 million or more and a dense concentration of people. Many of them live in slums. In Oklahoma, an Air Force training jet, 5,000 feet up, crashed with a crop duster, colliding over the southwestern part of Oklahoma, killing the crop duster. The T-35 training jet from Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas, struck the crop duster over a rural area southeast of Frederick, according to the FAA. The two pilots aboard the jet were assigned to the 80th Flying Training Wing. They ejected safely. A Michigan man threatening to blow up his van waged a standoff with authorities for hours in Washington, D.C. today, a short distance from the White House, triggering the evacuation of several blocks of downtown on the very first day of inaugural activities. The episode, which ended peacefully about 4 hours later, did not appear to be related to terrorism, but instead to a family matter. The man was upset over the planned deportation of a relative. Police say they found devices that appeared to be hazardous in the van and that bomb technicians were deactivating them last night. The response: hundreds of officers, armored vehicles, snipers on rooftops, instant road closings underscored the tight security that is in Washington, D.C. The man who led Saddam Hussein's Army of Mohammed during the 2004 situation has confessed that Iran is the primary source of funding for his jihadists battling U.S. forces in Iraq. Now keep an eye on this story. The colonel, his name is Moayed al-Nasadi, made the comments on a taped interrogation that was broadcast on an Iraqi television station operated from the United Arab Emirates. Al-Nasari says the Army of Mohammed was founded by Saddam Hussein after the fall of his regime in April of 2003. He claims he is the third commander of the 800-man operation. He said, we carried out many armed operations, including the coalition forces in all districts. These operations included bombing their military posts, their camps, and their bases, fighting these forces, and planting explosive devices against their patrols and convoys. He says after the fall of the regime, Hussein put out the word for loyalists to join the Army of Mohammed. And he claims that they got funding from Iran and also help from Syria. Condoleezza Rice, President George W. Bush's nominee as Secretary of State, has been persistently asked by U.S. senators to explain U.S. policy in Iraq. Ms. Rice was answering questions during a session of the U.S. Senate, which is expected to confirm her in the post. One senator aggressively suggested that Ms. Rice's loyalty to Mr. Bush overwhelmed your respect for the truth. She did not admit that the Bush administration made any diplomatic mistakes in its first term, but in her opening statement, she made it clear that she believed greater efforts should be made now to put America's case to the world and listen to the response. In Baghdad, by the way, just moments ago, a car bomb exploded outside the cement blast barriers of the Australian embassy in central Baghdad, killing two people, wounding four, according to police. Palestinian leader Mohammed Abbas has held the first rounds of talks with militant group Hamas in an effort to get it to declare a ceasefire. Mr. Abbas is under intense pressure from Israel to find a way to stop militants from launching attacks on Israeli targets in and around the Gaza Strip. Hours after Mr. Abbas arrived in Gaza for the talks, a suicide bomber killed an Israeli and injured seven others. Israel said that Mr. Abbas must act immediately in order to stop the violence. In Brazil, a Brazilian man arguing with his 88-year-old mother picked her up, threw her over a fence into her neighbor's yard, where two pit bulls mauled her to death. The 48-year-old man picked up his mother, pitched her over the yard wall during an argument. Two pit bulls tied up in the neighboring yard were able to get to her, savaged her. She died later in a hospital. Neighbors say he's an alcoholic. He was robbing his mother's pension money so he could drink. They were fighting over that. In Florida, a woman fell to her death while trying to do a handstand on the railing of a second-floor hotel balcony. 23-year-old woman from Cape Coral. While attempting a handstand, she toppled over, dropped to the hotel patio below. Just before she fell, she had called out to a friend and said, "Watch, see what I can do." Foul play is not believed to be involved. All around the country now, the supernatural spa treatments are starting to pop up. It was one thing when they were just going there for spa treatments. Now, while they're doing that, they're also going for tarot card readings and astrological consultations. And apparently, this is a big craze. It's happening in Chicago, California, St. Louis, it's Texas. It's going all around the country. People are going in, getting spa treatments, right? Massages and things like that. But they're getting all these other paranormal things done while they're there. And I want to read this email that came in from a fellow by the name of Matthew. And this one touched me, and I want to share it with you. "George, I've been meaning to write to you for months now about an experience that I had in November. In late October, I tried to commit suicide and backed down. I'm an armed guard in Dallas. I had taken my service weapon and started to shoot myself. As I said, I backed down. I was still struggling with depression when in early November, you were out. That night, Coast replayed an interview that you had done in April with Uri Geller. Listening to the two of you talk, I felt a weight leave me. The depression subsided and my life returned to normal. On November 26, I was working a hotel and received a call from the office. A gentleman who was staying there had a phone call from his brother warning us that he may try to commit suicide. So I went to his room and persisted in knocking on this door till he answered. And I don't mean to be dramatic here, but if the eyes are the windows of the soul, I can tell you that man walked with death that night. So I got him up and moving around and eventually to call his brother to talk. You always say that there are no coincidences, and I believe it. I helped save that man's life that night, but I couldn't have done it without the help of what was going on in that program that night that I listened to. If you ever get down, just remember that sometimes a friendly voice in the night is all it takes to make things better. Thank you. And I wanted to share that with you. Here are the phone numbers for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you right now at 818-501-4109. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest at the top of the hour. It'll be David Ovesen as we talk about Nostradamus, some of his predictions as it directly relates to the United States. We're also going to talk about the Antichrist with David because a lot of you are very concerned, fascinated by the Antichrist. Some of you predicting that the Antichrist is already here. So let's get the take from David based on those very, very difficult quatrains to interpret of Nostradamus. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Calling from Alabama.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, George, I wanted to ask you something about something I heard on the news years ago and haven't heard anything about it since then.
Yeah, I'll try to help you.
It was about, in England, I believe, researchers were putting electrodes on stones in old taverns that were like hundreds of years old, under the assumption that the stones may have actually recorded sounds, because stone contains silicates, which are part of like tape recording tape.
Yes.
And I believe that they said that they'd actually had some initial success in doing it, and I haven't heard anything else about it, and I was wondering if maybe you knew anything about it or any of your listeners.
I have heard of trying to put electrodes up to stones, but the only, to tell you the truth, the only stones I know that make any kind of sound are the Rolling Stones.
Very good.
But I'll check into that.
Okay, well, right. Thanks a lot. Enjoy talking to you.
All right, appreciate that. Yeah, I had heard that some time ago. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. My name is Nick. I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Okay. I have a bit of a amazing story I like to think that my mother just told me about my aunt.
Yeah, share it with us.
Well, a little over 2 weeks ago, close to 3 weeks ago, my aunt was hit by a car. It was very severe. The left side of her body was damaged very heavily.
Oh, gosh.
Crushed leg, knee. Her shoulders popped out of place, her collarbones broken, broken ribs, vascular damage, the whole thing. The paramedics got to her on scene, apparently she was talking to somebody that they thought there was a crowd around her, someone named Joe. And he kept telling her that she couldn't go to sleep, you know, that she had to stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got her to the hospital, and when she was in the ambulance, she was carrying on the same conversation with this guy. The paramedics are telling her now, a few days later, that she would not let them use her right hand because he was holding her hand. She was in her own world, basically, so they thought. So now, after all the drugs and that have gone out of her system, and she's still pretty banged up, she's starting to remember these things, and it's coming to her over the course of time. Well, she finally remembered that this guy was basically my father. My father died in 2003, in May of 2003.
And was his name Joe?
Yes, his name is Joe. When she was describing the look to my mother, now, like I said, we live in Albuquerque, and my aunt lives in Virginia. She's met my father maybe four times out of the 31 years my parents have been together.
I assume then aunt on your mother's side, then, obviously.
Yes, right? The aunt on my mother's side.
Okay.
And there was things she was talking about that she would have either not known about or, you know, it's a very strong likelihood that she didn't know about it. My father, for years in the 70s, he worked at a gas station. He wore green Dickie work pants. It was the only thing he used to wear. She saw him in that.
Oh, my.
Flannel overshirt. My dad loved wearing flannel overshirts. That was like the main thing he wore. But they had only met each other, like I said, about four times at maximum over the course of 31 years.
How did your mother feel about this when the aunt was talking about this?
She's amazed. She was just talking about me about this no more than a half hour ago, and she's just amazed by it because she, my family in general, my mother's side and my side and my father's side, we've been through a lot of traumas since he's died, and it's just my mother's prayed to God. She's tried to speak with my father to help watch out for us, and this story just came and it blew her mind, and it was amazing to me too, because it's just, you know, she described my father to a T, and she barely knew him at all.
Do you both believe that he visited the aunt and he was there during that accident?
I do, and my mother does, yes.
Yeah.
And my aunt does not. My aunt was not a believer in any real much, you know, anything really deep spiritually.
She is now.
Yes, she definitely is now. That's exactly what she said. It was just all kinds of things. The people at the hospital, the doctors, the nurses, that were asking, did you ever find Joe was, or who is Joe? And now that she has her full recollection back, it's, you know, she's told them that, then they're just amazed by it.
Joe came back to save her.
Basically, it seems like that. And like I told you, she was really injured badly. They thought she was going to have to have her leg amputated.
Oh, my. That's that's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing it with us.
All right.
Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Sir.
How about that? I believe it. Absolutely. First-time caller line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, Nori.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call and say that I listened to your show, and I like it, and I just wanted to ask you one question.
All right.
Do you have the Sounds of Hell on your show?
Yes, we do.
Do you think you could play that for me, or no?
You know what? Just for you, I will.
You will?
But my first name's George. It's not
George.
It's not Nori.
All right,
Nori.
Sorry, George.
Okay, but we'll play it for you before the commercial break.
All right,
you
thanks,
got
man.
It. Okay, sure thing. Gotta just set them straight just for a little bit. Next up, let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
This is Eric calling from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Sure.
I was just going to say, I think I used up one of my nine lives in November there.
Just one?
If
you're lucky.
I on two left. I used up two. I had a kidney transplant about 6 years ago, and then my spleen exploded. They're not sure, 100% sure how that exploded yet. So, but I'm doing not too bad.
How many do you think you have left now, Eric?
Oh, probably about six, I'm thinking.
Well, that's pretty good to have that. That's more than most.
I love your show, man. Take care.
All right. You recuperate, huh?
I will.
All right.
Take care.
Okay,
bye.
Now we're going to play for you the Sounds of... This, by the way, the Sounds of Hell are available to you. They're giving it out for free when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. I don't want to talk about the After Dark newsletter right now, but just so you know that. But here it goes, just for you. I think.
Not yet.
It's not yet, but they will come. We have been possessed by the devil, and they have reached down into the bowels of hell, and they have stopped all those people from doing what. Are we going to get it down, Danny?
No.
It doesn't look like we're going to do it. Okay, we won't do that, but I tell you what we will do. We'll try to get it ready for you, and we'll play it after the break. I know you're all waiting there with your bated breath to hear the Sounds of Hell. Sometimes the devil does strange things, and this is probably one of those things. Anyway, when we come back, we'll continue with open lines. If you ever need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. If you're on a computer right now and you want to get some instant messages to us, that's simple too. All you have to do is fast blast us. Now, fast blast is not like emailing, okay? You can't send a lot of information. It's just quick, two or three lines of something that you want to find out about the show while we're on, maybe a question that you would like a guest to answer. That's what Fast Blast is for. Okay, so don't think it's email. If you want to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. The other thing is Fast Blast, and you find that by going to the coasttocoastam.com website. I'll come back. Open lines continue. We'll try to find the sounds of hell for you, unless the devil ran off with it.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.
Me to face. I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can bother.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, there will only be one After Dark CD, two CDs built into this package, 2.5 hours of bumper music, ghost stories, and unforgettable calls to the show. You will love it. But I'm only doing it this one time. I told the producer of the After Dark CD. He said, well, we're going to do a second one. Nope, there will only be one. So if you want to get this one, because I'm predicting 200 years from now, it will be a collector's item. But you can get it by going online at afterdarkcd.com. That's www.afterdarkcd.com. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. And those of you who love the After Dark newsletter, well, if you renew, you get a copy of free CD of Art Bell's interview on Mel's Hole when you do that, or when you subscribe. A couple ways you can do that. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website down there at the bottom of the homepage. Very safe and secure there. Or you can call this toll-free number. It is a different number. That's 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. Now, in addition, you'll also get the Sounds of Hell for free. Now, those Sounds of Hell, which I'm going to play again for you. Apparently, a group of Russians at the time, Soviets, were in the remote area of Siberia, and they were digging a 9-mile deep hole looking for oil. Now, the director of this project, his name was Dr. Viktor Azakov, and he says the drill suddenly began to rotate wildly, indicating that we had reached a large empty pocket or cavern. Temperature sensors showed a dramatic increase in heat to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This is 10 times higher than what we expected. It's almost as if a fiery inferno is raging within the Earth's core. We lowered a microphone designed to detect the sounds of plate movements down the shaft. But instead of plate movements, we heard human voices screaming in pain. At first, we thought the sound was coming from our own equipment. But when we made adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed. The screams were of millions of humans. If you believe it, to me it sounds like a Saturday night at a shopping mall, but I want you to listen to the sounds of hell. Yep, that's what the sounds of hell, that's where it's supposed to come from. Let's go to the phone's wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
I had an experience this summer. Me and my partner went to his dad's for a cookout, and he had a little six-year-old niece who came by to spend the night with us. And I was up in the sky showing her Mars, because that's when Mars was so close.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I think that was in August, something like that, when it was really close, yeah.
Right, and I was telling her how you could see other planets in the sky. And then all of a sudden she asked me if I knew about the dusty planet. And I said, what is the dusty planet? Are you talking about Sedna? And because Sedna had recently been discovered.
Uh-huh.
Well, she said, no, it's something, and I asked her if you could see it, and she said, no, you can't see it. It's still coming.
How old is this little girl?
She was 6 years old, and it just completely blew me away when this came out of her, because it acted like she was being channeled or something.
Where do you think she even knew about the possibility of this object?
I asked her about that, and she said she got it out of the Weekly Reader. But also, what she said was, because I asked about when you could see it, and she said, well, no, it's still coming. And she said, but there's not just one. There's about 10 of them that travels with it. And I then asked her, well, are any of us going to be hurt by this? Because that was recently, had been that show with that one guy who talked about something coming out of the sky in the south
that was going to kill us all. Which did not occur.
Right. Well, I was freaked out when this girl told me this, because it was right around that time also. And then I asked her if it was going to hurt us, and she said no. And she said, no, it's not going to hurt anybody. She said, but there's going to be about 200 that come first, and you're going to be able to see those. And that'll tell you when it's going to get here, and it's going to be these 10 planets that she called the dusty planets.
This is a remarkable child. We've had a guest on. His name is James McCanny. His theory is that a series of comets will come first before any kind of large planetary-sized object, almost echoing what she says.
Exactly. I love Jim McCanny, too, and I put that together, too. And now we've been hearing about these sonic booms in place.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm just blown away. I've seen lots of falling stars in my life, but me and my partner right out in front of our house one night, we saw a meteor that went over. And, George, I am not kidding. I counted watching this thing, this big bright flash, for at least 30 seconds. And you know, if you've seen a falling star, it's just for a couple seconds.
I know she's only six, but could you find out, and I'm going to put you on hold. You can give your phone number to our producer, Tom. If I could record a very brief interview with her, she could be fascinating on this program. And I think we're up too late for her to stay awake.
Right, and she lives up in Lincoln, North Carolina. I'm in Atlanta, I'd try to get a hold of her.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to put you on hold if you share your phone number with us, and then let's see if her parents will allow that. I'd like to chat with her. We'll record it and play it on the show.
Okay, George.
Okay.
Thank you for the show.
All right, thank you. First time. Boy, that is something. Take care of that, Tommy. First time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George.
Yes.
Hi. I'm calling because I've had two experiences in the past, I would say, 8 years, and I've never been able to find out what exactly happened to me.
Well, what do you mean, experiences?
Well, the first time it happened was in New Mexico, and I was sleeping, and I've always been into metaphysical things, and it felt like something had come and was like my soul was kind of leaving my body, and I thought, consciously in my brain, I thought, well, maybe someone's come to take me on a journey, and I was internally a little bit excited, and then I felt like it was, all of a sudden, it was something really dark and kind of...
evil?
Not, yeah. And I fought really hard to, like, open my eyes, but it was weird, too, because I felt like my eyes were already open.
You mean you thought, like, whatever it was, like, peering down on you?
Yeah, it was like I could see the room, almost, and the room became really, like, dark and heavy and evil, but my eyes weren't open, but I could kind of still see the room, and I don't really know how to explain it, but... that's kind of what was going on, and I fought really hard to open my eyes and stay in my body, and I did, and I was just really terrified. I couldn't sleep that night, and I mean, it wasn't a dream.
I was gonna ask you that. How do you know it wasn't?
I don't know. It was just much more real than a dream. I don't know. The second time it happened was probably like a year and a half ago, and this time it was like really, really strong. And I was again in my bed, I was sleeping, and it felt like wind was just like whipping through my body, like almost like again trying to like steal my soul out. And I could see the room again, and I'm looking to the left, and I'm seeing the room. I was praying. I'm like, okay, God, please help me. And that didn't do anything. And then it was like angels, protectors, whoever, please help me, you know, and that really didn't do anything either. And so then I consciously, like in my mind again, I said, I choose to stay. I choose to stay. I choose to stay. I said that like three times, and then it all stopped. And when I finally opened my eyes, it was weird because I opened my eyes and I was, my head turned to the right, and I saw the room, my bedroom.
Well, why do you think this evil stuff is happening to you?
I don't know, because I'm not like, I don't involve myself in anything like that at all.
You don't sound evil. You don't sound like you surround yourself with that. I don't think you hang around with people like that. Do you?
No, I mean, if anything, it's like all about the light, you know, and I guess my question to you is if you've ever heard anyone else, you know, talk about anything like that, or if you have any ideas about what that might be or why that happened.
We get calls like that every once in a while from people who have had similar experiences as you. But there's really no logical explanation what's happening. I mean, I don't know if somewhere in your life you let in these evil spirits. Maybe you were playing with a Ouija board. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what has happened to you to allow them to come in to enter you. You might want to check sleep paralysis as well. You might want to check medical conditions, because that's a strong possibility with people too. I mean, if these things are happening to you in your sleep state, you know, that is a possibility as well. So get it checked out first. In terms of what it is, all I can really recommend is you continue to listen to the program and hear more and more people who have had similar traits. These strange dreams. Maybe we'll do that Friday night. Strange dreams and strange things that have happened to you in the dark. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
My name is Matt. I'm calling from Youngstown, Ohio. WKBN AM 570. Mm-hmm. And I got a real quick story here for you and your audience. I was listening to the program last night with Mr. Jacobs. And at a point in the show, he was talking about his own personal guardian angels and his own stories. And it got me to thinking, and I was going to call, but it was a little too late last night, so I just thought I'd call tonight and share the experience with you and your listeners.
Sure.
I was about 6 years old, and I didn't know how to swim at the time. 1 month out of the summer, my parents would send two of my older brothers and I out of state to visit our aunt and uncle. And we would go, they had a lake behind their house. A few hundred yards from behind their house, they would take us down there to the lake quite often, and we'd have a cookout, picnic, and swim around. Well, we were in the lake, and my two brothers were out a little bit deeper than I was. I was up to about shoulder, high water, or chest high water, and they were out a little bit further, and they were on top of a rock. Now, I didn't realize they were on top of a rock, and they kept trying to get me to come out there because being an older brother, they were going to dunk me and just hold me underwater and just scare me and play with me.
So you thought it was a little shallow water, huh?
Right, and I decided not to go because I knew how they were, and I just decided not to go out there. Well, my aunt and uncle called us in for our burgers and that they were cooking on the grill.
Uh-huh.
And my two brothers, now this is behind their house. There's nobody. This is a private part of the lake.
Right.
Nobody's
right.
ever there. And so my two brothers start swimming in the shore. And when they go by me, I say, okay, I'm going to go out here and check this out and see maybe it is really shallow.
Okay, so you were going to go back.
Once they
were out of the lake.
Right.
Okay.
I proceeded. Once they got by me and they got up the shore, and I knew that they weren't going to be able to do anything to me, I proceeded to go out further and see if they were telling me the truth about the height of the water or the depth. And I got on top of this rock, and I took one step off, and I dropped straight down.
Oh!
And the water was probably, I would say, 10 inches, maybe a foot above my head. And I can remember this plain as day, and this is the honest-to-God's truth story, that I was looking up, I was down at the bottom of the water, I was touching ground. And I remember looking up with my eyes open through the water, and I could see the sun. And then I see the silhouette of a person. And a hand come through the water and just picked me up gently and easily and just set me right on top of the rock. And I just took off, just trying to run through that water as fast as I can, getting back to the shore. And I got about 10, 15 feet away, and I turned around to look, and there's nobody there. And I go a few more feet, and I turn around, and there's nobody there. Now, mind you, like I said, this is private property. All my family are up on shore, and there is nobody in this water other than me. And it was a young girl. Maybe 12 years old, maybe 13 years old.
She was watching?
Yeah, she was just a young girl, and she pulled me out of that water, set me on that rock, and I was just a little boy, and as I remember leaving that rock and trying to get back up shore as quick as I can, turning around and looking,
and
there's nobody there.
She's gone.
Yeah, and it was the most, and I'm a 32-year-old oxygen technician, average, middle-class, hard-working guy, never had any psychic, events, nothing. I'm just want to let people know these things happen. And I mean, I'm a normal as can be guy. These things happen. And if you don't believe it, just believe it.
Because if you weren't pulled out of the water at that moment, you think you would have drowned?
Absolutely. Because I was at least 100, maybe 100, 120 feet probably from the shore. It was quite a bit out there. It was a shallow, it wasn't a very deep lake. It was, in the summertime, you could go out quite far because the water was shallow. It was the level of the lake wasn't very deep, but once you got so far out, you dropped off. And I was out there quite a bit, and like I said, everybody else was kind of just in there. My brothers were just going into shore. They weren't paying attention. My aunt and uncle were making our sandwiches, and I am absolutely positive if I didn't have that guardian angel there at that time, if she wasn't watching me, I absolutely believe I would not be here.
And she's probably still watching you.
I don't doubt it. I've never seen her again. I've never, thank goodness, I've been in a situation where I wouldn't need one. But I wouldn't doubt it one bit. I just wanted to let people know that it does happen.
And you got that right. I remember years ago, I was walking in a lake with my father's twin brother, my uncle. And he was right next to me, and we were about 150 feet from shore in what was a pretty shallow lake. And I must have hit, and keep in mind, I must have been about 3'6" by that time. I must have hit a hole that must have been 4 or 5 feet deep in this lake. And I went right down. And I thought it was
curtain time, and somehow I got back up to the top, and my uncle didn't even know I was gone. He was still walking in stride. I mean, he didn't miss a beat. And, you know, I was coughing and gagging and just horrible feeling, you know, going down a hole in a lake that's as dark and murky as it gets. So I understand what you went through, but to have a guardian angel pluck you out like that, that's pretty miraculous. West of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
It's James from Montana.
Hey, James, sure.
Remember I called last month and I told you about my grandpa and the cuckoo clock going crazy?
Oh, yeah. Great story.
Yeah, well, the cuckoo clock went nuts again the other day.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it's something with the clock, and I'm sure that my grandpa's ghost or spirit or something is in this house.
Setting off that clock whenever he wants.
Yeah, it's like my grandma has three cats. I live in the basement. All three cats, you could just hear them freak out when this clock, you know, and they all took off.
Because if I recall, this is a clock that should not be working, right?
Right, it's not working. And I ran upstairs, and there was two weights on the chain. One of the weights had been taken off for some reason. And one of the chains with the weight on it was just steadily dropping to the bottom. That was that was making the noise.
Like someone was pulling it?
Yeah. And so I took the weights off. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that because maybe that was his only form of communication.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But then also, if he is a spirit, maybe there's other ways he can communicate.
Yeah, maybe this is the easiest way for him.
Well, could be because, well, this morning I heard the knock on my door again. And Grandma wasn't down here. And it's just bizarre.
He's hanging around for some reason.
I know it. Well, love your show, George.
Okay, you take care.
You too, bye.
You know, when you have ghosts and spirits like that that are hanging around and they're not doing anything bad, they're not scaring you, I wonder if we're supposed to convince them to move on or you just let them hang around. I mean, what harm is it doing? That's a good question one day for a ghost person. I'll be back in a moment. David Overson, our guest, as we talk about Nostradamus and those prophecies as they affect us. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.